Hey, well, thank you so much for letting me come speak to you today. I don't think I'll use a chair because I don't think I can sit down. I'm too nervous while I'm up here, so I've got to stand. I'm excited to be able to speak with you. I want to talk to you tonight about prayer. And that song that was playing, my mother, I was at a small Baptist church. My dad was a bivocational minister. For those of you who don't know what a bivocational minister is, that's somebody that preaches at a church that's so small that they can't afford to pay the pastor's salary. So the pastor works a regular job and then is the pastor during the week also. And so my dad was a bivocational pastor in Detroit working in the automotive factory. And my mom was the pianist for the inner city Detroit Baptist, Southern Baptist Church. And I remember I was only like 5 or 4 years old, and she would play that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and she would practice it over and over and over again. And as long as I could hear that song being played, I could be anywhere in the house, and I felt very safe, very at peace. So at my mom's funeral, we made sure we played that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And so when it played, it's kind of neat. It reminds me of her. So thank you. Tonight, I want to talk to you about prayer. Now, just a little bit of background for me. I've already said that I grew up in Detroit. I moved to Tennessee, and I became an elementary school teacher. So we're going to have a little class participation tonight. And some of you, matter of fact, if you are under the age of 18, I need your help. Chloe? Yeah, see, Chloe, get ready. Laying her head on her dad. Chloe, I need your help. And Jody, I need your help. We're going to pass out a sheet of paper, a pamphlet. So come on up. Anybody else under the age of Emily? Can you help? Emily's over 18, but she'll help. Great. If you can give one of these to everybody. All right. These are just so you don't have to copy notes. We're going to save you a little bit of time.
Thank you.
I want to give you, they say if you start a sermon, it's always good to start off with a joke or something that lightens up the crowd, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you some statistics about prayer, because I like statistics, and so here's a statistic about prayer. Barna Research says slightly more than 4 out of 5 adults in the United States, 84%, claim they have prayed in the last week. That has been the case since Barna started tracking it. Pew Research also says that there's a certain percentage that prays every day in the United States. I want you to try to figure out, get a number in your head, what percentage do you think pray every day in the United States? Okay, here we go. The number is 55%, according to Pew Research, pray every day in church. U.S. News funded a poll to learn more about why we pray, how we pray, when we pray, where we pray, and here's what they found. They found that of people that say they pray, 75% were Christians. 64% say they pray more than once a day. 56 say most often they pray for family members, with 3.3% saying they will pray for strangers. 3.3% say they'll pray for a stranger if that stranger needs prayer. A little over 38% say the most important purpose of prayer is intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. 41% say their prayers are answered often, and 1.5% or 1.5% of the people said that their prayers are never answered. So, 5% of people say they pray most often in a house of worship. But 79% say they pray most often in their home. 67% say in the past 6 months their prayers have related to continually giving thanks to God. And here's the last statistic I want to give you. How many times, I want you to try to figure this out for yourself, how many times does the Bible refer to prayer? How many times does the Bible refer to prayer? Anybody want to take a guess? How many times does the Bible mention prayer? Yeah, go ahead, you got it. Your mom jerked your hand down too quick. Yeah. 11 times, okay? All right? A lot of times. I like that. Good. Somebody else, how many times do you think the Bible refers to prayer? What's that? Amazingly close. 300, she said 365. 375 times. My dad was preaching, no, it wasn't my dad, it was a different preacher, but he was preaching a sermon one Sunday. We only had like 50 people in our whole church. And this sermon was about money and the love of money and working for your money and what you deserve. And so he put down 36 cents on the pulpit. He said, anybody want this 36 cents? Come on up and get it. I sat there. I looked around. I wondered why nobody was going up. And so he put down another dime, 46 cents. Nobody was going up. He put another dime, 56 cents. I started walking up there. I was going to get my, for crying out loud, 56 cents. So I had to go up there. So all the adults thought it was funny. But that's what it reminds me when I call on you and nobody raises their hand, nobody wants to speak. So it's kind of funny. My question for you, and you can turn to your neighbor and talk about this, is I want to know the three reasons that people don't pray, the three main reasons people say they don't pray. Feel free to talk to your neighbor. If you're talking to your neighbor about something that has nothing to do with this question, though, I'll take recess away. There's the teacher in me. Three reasons that people say that they don't pray, the three reasons they give. All right. Somebody give me an answer. Somebody who got the answer. What do you think? Doesn't matter. Okay, somebody give me a different answer. Yeah.
Too busy.
I'm too busy. Life is very busy. I don't get it. Jody. They don't know God. Good, good. Anybody else? They don't know what to pray. They don't know how does that work? How do you do that? Okay. Here's the answers they give. Why don't people pray? First one is they don't think they have time. They don't think they have time. I like the Wednesday night sermon. I think it was Wednesday night. Pastor Mike did it a couple years ago. It was about how people use their time. Do you remember that? Yeah, I really like that. I pulled up a statistic. The average Christian, the length of their prayer during the day is 3 to 7 minutes, including praying for meals. 3 to 7 minutes. In 2010, they did a survey, and the average American spent 1 hour a day surfing the internet. And that was 2010. That has probably increased due to smartphones, but it was 1 hour a day back then. And also in 2013, the average American spent 2.8 hours a day watching television, 2.8 hours a day watching television. So we just think we don't have time to pray. Next one, we don't think it's important. We don't think it's important. And the last one, we don't believe it makes any difference. We don't think it makes any difference. Newsweek did a poll. It was called Listening to God. And they polled these people, and of those who said they did pray, 87% believed that God answered their prayers, at least some of the time that God was answering their prayers. I would beg to differ them. God answers all the time. They just didn't understand how he was answering. Okay. Why should we pray? I would suggest we should pray because the Bible said so. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible says, pray continually. Or maybe your version says, pray without ceasing. If you're an RA, If you're an RA, you might want to write that verse down because, man, that would be an easy one to memorize. See, because they have to memorize a certain number and they get points for it. So I would be saying, oh, yeah, let me do that one. That one's okay. Yeah, got one. I memorized one. There you go. So that's a freebie. If you came here, memorize that one. Also, in Colossians 4:2, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So if no other reason we should pray because the Bible says so. God tells us to in his word. But tonight I'm going to give you some more reasons why we should pray. There's dozens of them, but here's one. God commands us to pray. See, heal our land is the first one I have, to heal our land. And please don't try to write these down. I think your sheet has them all on there. I take it back. It doesn't have this part. Okay, to heal our land. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, we talk a lot about the state of our politics, the state of our morals in our country, the state of wars in our country, diseases, declining religious enthusiasm. And there's your verse right there. If you want to heal your land, there's the roadmap to it. Of that 1.5% that said God never answers their prayers, I would suggest that did they really do the part that says if they will humble themselves? Did they really do the part where it says, will you seek my face? And did they really do the part where it says, will you turn from your wicked ways? And then if they did those three, I would suggest that we wouldn't have that 1.5% that said God won't answer my prayer. Receive daily direction for life. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Show me your ways. O Lord, teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Psalms 25:1, verses 4 through 5. Another reason we should pray, for deliverance from trouble. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles, Psalms 34:17. We should pray because it makes God happy. God is delighted. Sort of like a grandparent whose child is in a performance. Even if the performance isn't good, the grandparent is delighted. Delighted. God is delighted in our prayer. The Lord detests the sacrifices of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. Proverbs 15:8. All right, to receive mercy. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Proverbs 28:13. To receive rewards. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your heavenly Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Matthew 6:6. To provide workers for Christian ministry. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Matthew 9:37-38. To follow the example of Jesus, we should pray because Jesus prayed. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. Matthew 26:36. To cast out demons. I look at this another way, cast out demons or to confront the devil. He replied, this kind come out only by prayer. Mark 9:29. So when you're dealing with the devil and his demons and the things that he's working, prayer. To receive the Holy Spirit's power. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask, Luke 11:13. To bear fruit. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you wish, it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. John 15:7-9. He's not saying he'll give you everything you want. He's saying, if you're in my will, if the most important thing to you is following me, and you don't want anything else except for what I want, then I'll grant that if you ask it of me. Okay? It's a difference. So you can't really go home and say, I really like that new car. That's not what he's saying. To receive joy. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. John 16:24. So even in your darkest time, you can pray for joy. To be a witness. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Acts 16:25. So during Paul and Silas's dark time, they were singing and praising God, and people were taking note. To be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. To glorify God. So whatever you drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. To influence other people's lives. I know I'm going through these pretty quick. To influence other people's lives. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Ephesians 6:18. So be an influence with your prayers. To receive peace. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6-7. To receive grace in a time of need. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16. To heal the sick. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. James 5:15. So we should pray for those who are sick. We should pray for them. To receive wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who generously gives all without finding fault. It will be given to him. James 1:5. Now, I have to tell you a story, true story, the small church that I grew up in. There was a Sunday school class of teenage boys. All three of us were in the Sunday school class. My brother, me, and a guy named Andy McDonald, who is now minister of education at his church in Kentucky. And so we were all sitting there, and we had a young teacher. He was in his 20s, and he was from Cuba, and his English was very broken. And so sometimes he misspoke things. And he decided to open us up in prayer. And his prayer, his Sunday school lesson, was about wisdom. And he prayed the prayer, and we were all sitting there with our eyes closed, and he said, "And Lord, give wisdom to Andy, and give wisdom to Marvin, and even give wisdom to Kenneth." And we started laughing because he said, "And even give wisdom to Kenneth," as if it took the Lord extra effort to give me any wisdom. The other two weren't so hard, but Kenneth took a lot of effort to give wisdom to. And we started laughing. He was getting kind of mad because he was the Sunday school teacher. And so we had to, after he had got done, we had to explain, here's what it meant, what you were saying in English. And then he understood. But I never forgot that verse. And it always struck me as strange, if any of you lack wisdom, like you would go to God and say, you know, I think I got enough, God. I just wouldn't do that. I would imagine all of us would say, hey, I could use some more of that. Yeah, so. To receive forgiveness and cleansing. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. What I want to talk to you about now is since I was a school teacher and I see everything through the optics of a teacher, this is the last Wednesday of church before we start the school year. And the reason I wanted to talk about prayer tonight is we really need to pray for everybody involved in this whole education thing that they're going to start back to the beginning of next week. Now, I know some school systems start later on, but for Dickson County, it starts back next week. And that's whether or not you're homeschooling or private schooling or going to college or going to pre-K or going to one of our public schools. And so in your hand, so don't try to write these down, but it's 30 days of prayer for the new school year. And this was written by some moms, and it talked about praying for my child, but I changed it to our children. Because when we get children that come here and say, I want to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, and we say, if you agree with them coming forward to accept Christ, and you want to accept them into our church, will you raise your hand saying that you too will encourage them as they follow Christ? This is what that means. You're to be an encouragement, and part of that is prayer. So day one, you could pray that children will understand the gospel that they learn here at church and apply those biblical principles to everyday life. You can pray that children will develop a deep respect and appreciation for their teacher and will act out of respect for all authority figures. You can pray that the children will develop a close bond with their peers and they will choose friends wisely. Even if you don't have children, you can be praying for the children in our schools. Pray that children will develop the ability to discern right from wrong and put it into practice on a daily basis. Pray that children will be convicted by sin and be found out when they do something wrong. There's probably a lot of kids that I taught in school that really wouldn't want you praying that prayer, that they would be found out when they did something wrong. So pray that children will desire to be honest, even when it's hard or when they get into trouble. I had a kid in second grade that was acting up. I took away part of his recess. They were acting up. It was indoor recess time, and he was misbehaving. I told him, don't be throwing any of those blocks in the classroom, and he was throwing them across the classroom. And I said, you just lost half your recess. And his friends wrote me a letter, second graders, wrote me a letter. Dear Mr. Metcalf, we're so sorry that Johnny threw the blocks. He shouldn't have thrown them, but we told him to. And we didn't mean to throw them that hard. And we promise not to ever do it again. Can he please have his recess? I was so impressed with their letter, I said, hey, thanks for the letter. Yeah, he can have his recess. Don't do it again. And so they got his recess back. I really appreciated honesty, and that's what I told in my class, that I appreciate kids that are honest. Kindness. Pray that children will treat each other with kindness even when it's not popular. In school, kids can be so sweet, and kids can be so mean. And sometimes it's not popular to be sweet, but it's popular to be mean. Compassion. Pray that children will be compassionate and show love of Jesus to those who are hurting. By the way, that handout in a little while, we're going to break up into groups, and I want us to actually pray for children in our schools. So be picking out one that really touches your heart or speaks to your heart and says, hey, when I'm in my group, that's the one I want to pray about. Pray that children will learn to be a servant and see the beauty of being the hands and feet of Jesus. So if you're a Christian in school, pray that you will be willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Humility. Pray that children will learn to be humble and not brag about their success. Pray that children will develop a love of learning and a desire to be a lifelong learner. Pray that children will be challenged in their strongest subject and pushed out of their comfort zone, but also pray that children will make progress in their weakest subject and show tremendous growth in that area of weakness. Pray that children will become a confident learner in their abilities as a student. Pray that any learning issues or suspected weakness will be brought to light. Meaning if they have a weakness in learning, don't let them struggle all year long. Let's find out about it and see what we can do to treat it. So that's our prayer, that hey, if they've got a problem, let's find out what it is and deal with it. Pray that children will mature in emotion and stability and be comforted as their faith deepens in understanding. Pray that children will have tender spirits and be willing to help those in need. Pray that children will be excited to share the message of Jesus no matter the cost. Fourth grade boy, his name was Clint Morgan. He had a binder, and I looked at his binder one day, and there was a written sheet of paper on the front of the binder, covered almost the whole binder. And he was busy doing his math problems, so I looked at his binder cover a little bit closer. He had written out his prayer for the whole year and put it in his binder. He said, Lord, help me as I go through the school day. Help me with the things I don't do well. Help me when I struggle. Lord, help me to always live for you. Amen. And he wrote it out, carried it with him every day. I said, hey, buddy, can I have a copy of that? He said, sure. I made a copy of it. Still have it. It's kind of cool. Become a good listener. Pray that God will open the ears of children to hear the teacher and open the heart to listen to others. Self-control. Pray that children will learn self-control and have the discipline to use even in the toughest situations. When I was learning to be a teacher, I asked a teacher that had taught for 25 years, I thought that was a huge amount of time, had taught for 25 years, and I said, what has changed in 25 years? And this teacher at college said, the concept of delayed gratification. Kids struggle today with saying, yeah, I'm going to do something right now that I really don't want to do, that's hard, so that later on I can have something better. They really struggle with that idea of delayed gratification. So think before speaking. Pray that children will learn to guard their tongue and think about their words before speaking. Guard their mind. Pray that children will have guarded minds and thoughts of the Lord will be planted and not be easily uprooted. Softened heart. Pray that children will have a softened heart toward the gospel and hear the good news with open ears. Quick to forgive. Pray that children will be quick to extend grace when wrong has been done to them. I had a kid who got into a fight with another kid on my bus. What happened was the one kid was looking for his book, and his book was down underneath the bench seat, and he accidentally kicked the book and it hit the back of the foot of the kid in front of him. Well, the kid turned around and hit the kid behind him who had kicked the book. Well, the kid that accidentally kicked the book, his mama had told him, if somebody hits you, you hit them twice as hard right as back. So he hit him twice as hard right back. Well, guess what? The kid up front, his dad had told him, if somebody slugs you for no reason, you slug them back. And so the two kids were fighting over the fact that one kid accidentally kicked a book and it hit the other kid in the foot. So watch out. Be quick to forgive. Parents, be careful how you advise your kids. Slow to anger. Pray that children will have a long fuse and not anger easily. Pray that children will experience the joy of the Lord and not look for happiness in things of this world. Pray that children will have the strength to do what's right and that they grow physically in strength as well. Safety. Pray that children will be safe in sports and on the playground. And I would say in the bus too. Pray that God's protection will protect children from harm's way. And the last one, balance. Pray that children will learn how to balance responsibilities of school, responsibilities of home, and life with God's help and strength. I'd like for you to choose a group. It doesn't matter how big or small, but I'd like for you to take a few minutes and just pray for one or two things that are on that list, or maybe one that you remember, and then we'll get back together. I want to talk about praying for teachers.